Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, 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 wonderful Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Jesus, lover of our souls. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. To you we give all praise, honor and glory. For thou alone art worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you, Music Ministry. We'd like to have the ushers come. This time, receive the evening offering. Invite you to share in body ministry this evening. I would like to say that tomorrow night is the last gospel and song this year. We will not be having one on Thanksgiving weekend or on the Christmas weekend. And I think it would be good if we had a real good turnout to support this inreach. Should I call it an inreach? You know, there are people coming to this gospel and song that are looking for more of the Lord. Looking for something where they can find the anointing in God's ministry of song. Looking for something to satisfy their spirits. And we've been hearing about, there's been certain ones have been coming in to the church through this, finding something more for their lives. And what I would like you to do is I would like you, number one, to support this gospel and song tomorrow night, if you possibly can, with your presence. And then I would like you to support it if you come with greeting others. I would like you, whenever you come to gospel and song, to make it a point to greet the 200 or 300 that have come in that don't make this a part of the church home. I think you should make it an absolute point to go around to those that you've never seen and welcome them here and greet them and ask them. You know, friendliness is one of the things that wins people to a church. And you know, if we sing and praise the Lord and tell of our love, but don't reach out to them, they're going to feel it, and we have not done our part in extending ourselves in love to them. Am I right? Am I right? And if you come, I want you to feel obligated before the Lord. You know, it's so easy to go to those you already know. But I want you to step out to those you don't know. And number three, I would like you to support it when you come with hearty singing. I would like you to put everything you've got into it, and all the more so if those about you are not doing it by reason of the fact that they're new to this place. And number four, I would like you to support it in prayer. When you come, I would like you to really pray and ask the Lord to woo their hearts and draw them down to the altar to save their souls. Again, draw them to the altar to fill them with the Holy Ghost and to convict them and move upon them and woo them and bless them. And to bless those that are ministering in music. And finally, I would like you to support the work with altar work. That is, as those come down, I would like to make sure that nobody is down here without those about them to help them and lead them. And I'd like you that are newer in the faith and haven't been around so much, I'd like you to hold back. But you that know how to deal with them, I would like you to be right down there, be watching. Consider that part of your ministry. Is this too much to ask? This is only reasonable for the saints of God, isn't it? Who care about souls. So we'd appreciate if you do that. Thank you. I just love the Lord Jesus. I just feel, I'll tell you how I feel inside. I feel a new open door ahead. And the open door I feel ahead is primarily of living in the love of God and believing Him for everything and asking Him and just accepting by faith, just appropriating His power and kind of walking in the shelter of God, making dedication so that there's nothing standing between me and the Lord. So there's a full confidence, and then trusting Him and just taking by faith that love, that presence of God. And then the freedom to express it to the Lord, just to love Him and express it fully before the Lord in worship. And to believe that as we make the dedication and lay upon the altar the things God wants us to, and move out in faith and express ourselves fully before the Lord, that He will bless us so that we can dance before the Lord because our hearts are right with God. And because we're walking in the grace and faith of God and trusting Him and living holy before Him, and therefore have proper grounds and purpose to love Him and trust Him, instead of trying to manufacture it through a process of doing or acting or behaving, hoping somehow we can get Him down out of the sky, but rather live for Him and let Him live through us and manifest Himself through us. This is what I'm feeling. Amen. Amen. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I was singing tonight, I love you, my King. I am proud of you to be my King. I'm proud to have you as my King. I love to have a King. I'm glad to have a King over me. I love to have you as my King. I want you to be my King. I want to be lovely to my King. I want to extol my King. I love you, my King. King of Kings. Praise God. Hallelujah. Title of the sermon that I prepared for tonight is, well, first of all, let me preface it by saying I was listening to a brother that I really appreciate, deeply appreciate this minister of God. I appreciate his pulpit mannerisms. I appreciate his anointing. I appreciate his sensibility. I appreciate his conviction. I appreciate his straightforwardness, his boldness, his dedication. A man named Jimmy Swaggart. But he made a statement. And he said, he was talking about signs of the second coming. And I was listening to this when I was over in Hawaii on television. And he said, but there are no signs of the rapture. And I said, I'm going to preach on the signs of the rapture. And that's the sermon I've got for tonight, but don't write the title down because the devil thwarted me. I'll have to try to preach that Sunday night. Tomorrow morning, I have another doubleheader, and I'm teaching on a subject that I'd rather not carry into two sessions, but I will for necessity of the length. I'm teaching on the question, that is a big question today in the minds of many, many Christians, rather a mundane question in a way, but it affects lives deeply, a question of the propriety of war and of national defense. And just wars or unjust wars, and if there be such a thing. And there's quite a debate going on about that, and there's debates going on in the Christian realm and in Christian magazines. And with the recent invasion of Grenada in the Caribbean, where that question has come up again, I'm going to endeavor to give biblical and spiritual answers to that tomorrow morning in two sessions, and then in the evening, Sunday morning, thank you. And then in Sunday evening, the signs of the rapture, the signs of the out-translation that are in the Scriptures, things that we can see up here ahead. But tonight, I must of necessity deal again with the topic that I dealt with last Sunday morning in two parts. I entitled my message at that time, Dancing Before the Lord. And I brought it in two parts. I spoke a total of about 2 hours and 40 minutes. Tonight I'm entitling this Dancing Before the Lord Part 2. Now, you would think that after 2 hours and 40 minutes, I could make the subject clear enough to understand. But now I've got to preach another hour upon it. Because some of you did exactly what I feared you would do. You opened up to the spirits that were waiting to seize upon you, spirits of misunderstanding, spirits of rejection and fear of rejection. And others were not honest with their own hearts. They heard what they wanted to hear. They heard defense against dancing in the spirits of what they wanted to hear. So out of the same camp who heard the same message, we ended up with two messages. One, the pastor spoke against it. One, he spoke for it. Now, isn't that strange? Now, we prayed specifically before the message that the Lord would block those kinds of spirits that I knew would be anxious to rush in to those who would open themselves to them. And I'm going to guess that the reason that some of you were not protected against those spirits is because you were not worrying about those spirits. And you prayed rather obediently, but not seriously, at least not for yourself. You may have prayed that somebody else would be protected from them, but yourself didn't consider it worthy for yourself to really say, "Now, Lord, protect my heart from this," and to steel yourself against that spirit. It's pretty serious, and we mean business when we ask the Lord when we pray for something. Because unless we pray in faith, believing with a conviction, with a heart, it will avail nothing. But if we really pray from our heart, seriously, recognizing our need of Him, with conviction and with faith, it avails much. And my subtitle tonight is the reiteration and explanation of my Sunday sermons on dancing before the Lord and more definitions. And first of all, I want to make 11 statements. Statement number one, many have expressed appreciation for the balance and the perspectives concerning dancing before the Lord that I brought last Sunday morning. I've had many, many expressions. I'm saying this for purpose, not to build myself up. I'm only saying it for you that think I diminished it somehow through a lot of flies in the buttermilk or something, is that there are many people here that feel like it was needful, it was apropos, it was timely, it was necessary, it was balanced, it was right on target. And I have permission from Jack DuBois to read a letter he wrote to me concerning the subject. Here is a man who heard what I preached. And here's a man who never felt the slightest bit intimidated by it and didn't twist it at all. "Dear Pastor, my wife and I join in bringing you our most heartfelt thanks for bringing the message on dancing before the Lord. We are both so grateful for the new move of God in our body." Now, he didn't say he was grateful that we downed it. "And rejoice in the new joy and freedom so many have received in praise and worship." In the same breath, he thanks me for the message. He's thanking for the new freedom. He didn't interpret the message as taking any freedom away. "We too have often danced in our home worship times and are certainly not against it." So he didn't interpret me being against it. "We did have some concerns as we watched our body enter into this form of worship, and could see how we could indeed have followed Janice's curve in the staircase. Thank you, Don, for straightening the curve." He felt it was necessary. He could see. I think discerning people could see a need. "No one in any way should feel any kind of damp, squelching of the spirit, or bondage as a result of your message." That's how he interpreted it. Thank you for your confidence. "We welcomed the guidance you brought and our concerns for us as well as for the body have been laid to rest." Well, not quite, but we will tonight, hopefully. Although, understand, I don't want to overplay this part, overreact, because I'm not saying that most of the body was in that framework, but there were enough concerns expressed by people who went down into the cellar of the soul and are living down there, that we want to bring up into the living room of praise and worship to cause me to speak longer on this subject. We add a hearty amen to your message and appreciate the security we have in knowing we can depend upon you for these course corrections. And Jesus loved you and Barbara, Jack and Lita Boys. And I appreciate that. Point number two, there was a definite need for that message that I discerned, and a good number discerned, and a number of people came to me feeling the need, and these weren't just people who themselves did not dance and were against it. And I saw the need. I very definitely discerned it. If you didn't, I did. The need was not so much what I saw, but what I heard. Not heard from other people, but the way people expressed concerning the dancing was one of the biggest factors. Now, that's not the only thing, but it was one of the biggest factors. Number three, I in no way discouraged true expressions of love to Jesus and dancing before the Lord. No way. Number four, I warned everyone to accept all the qualifications and to accept everything in the context of my positive preaching concerning dancing before the Lord. And I spent the first 45 minutes proving from the scripture and stating positively about my affirmations of believing in dancing before the Spirit, and indicated that I had danced before the Spirit myself, and my brother had also before me, and that I was not against it. And I commended one of the ladies here for being locked in for a couple of hours and dancing before the Lord very freely. So that cannot be properly interpreted as I was against dancing in the Spirit. I just wish people would listen with their ears and their brain, and not just with emotions and emotional biases, and just to hear what they want to hear. I wish they would not read between the lines and interpret it, but would listen to exactly what you are saying and trust me to mean what I say, and not have to reorganize what I say and make it mean something else in accordance with how you're feeling about it. And I don't feel, you know, the slightest bit. I don't feel trouble in my soul. I'm not angry at anybody. I just want everybody to understand and be at peace in their heart. If I was nervous, I wouldn't be getting a drink of water right now. Number five, I was very careful to qualify everything I said. Number six, there are some saints here who feel too suppressed by my teaching to feel freedom to continue dancing as unto the Lord, because of how they interpreted my message. Number seven, I submit that my sermon only discouraged A, playing funsy games with dancing, B, asking the opposite sex to dance with you individually, C, dancing with children, although I indicated that they can dance with each other in class or in school, and they can dance alone in the service if they want to, and they feel in their heart. And I want to just add something here. You know, you can improperly disdain the little ones and say, well, they wouldn't understand. My folks, my friends, you let them play. You let them clap. You let them sing. I mean, you know that they don't have the same full understanding, but you still allow them to express, and you know they really do feel something for the Lord inside. And they have as much right as little people to express what they do feel about what they do know, as we do. And there's a great gap between the most mature adults and the most immature adults here in the assembly, and the immature adults they feel free to be able to praise the Lord as well as the mature ones, even though the concepts are not as straight. And so there is no problem with a little tiny one dancing before the Lord. The Lord does not disdain that. He does not send an angel down to stop that. It doesn't worry him. He is happy that they can feel free to love him. There's nothing wrong with their actions. And they're sincere in their actions. You know, as sincere they can be at that age for what they're doing. I'm not suggesting some of them might not be kind of copycatting, but there's nothing evil in copycatting. They copycat all kinds of things. I mean, my daughter baptized her dolls when she's 3 years old, and the Lord didn't get all in a huff about it because dolls can't be baptized. I mean, you know, little ones do copy, and that's how they learn. And they're just doing, they don't have real people to baptize. They're just doing to them. See, to them, those dolls are just almost real. In fact, one time my daughter leaned down, looked at one doll, and see the between fantasy and reality is blurred so much at that age. They can flip back and forth. You can summon an alligator and go, and they get scared to death. And they know it's granddaddy sitting right there they love, but as soon as you say alligator, in comes the image, and they get scared to death, see? I mean, they're blur so quick. And she stooped down and looked one of the little dolls in the face and says, "Don't you know you're not real?" But see, the image was so blurred between, you know, talking to it and asking if it didn't know it wasn't real, see? I mean, that's how much on the transition she was, see? And so that kind of a concept, you can baptize dolls, you know. Now I submit that my sermon only discouraged D, dancing insincerely and without feeling the Spirit to the extent that they feel like dancing. That's all. I said, just don't dance insincerely and below the extent that you feel. Don't dance way beyond what you're feeling, is what I was saying. And E, putting the emphasis on the dance rather than upon worshiping Jesus. I said, my sermon discouraged that. And F, I discourage dancing in the aisles during service unless the glory of God is falling to an extent that is appropriate. Now, none of these rules should stymie anybody. And I appreciated that after that night, after I preached it, Judy Rao was up here dancing away. She didn't have any trouble. And tonight, before I preached this message, people were dancing right around the pastor. Number 8, if someone is troubled because he cannot dance when he does not feel the joy of the Lord, I submit respectfully he's thinking carnally. Because this is not a dance hall for dance lovers. This place allows dancing for Jesus lovers. And there is a difference. Number 9, I submit that spirits of misunderstanding, spirits of intimidation, spirits of rejection and fear of rejection, spirits of hurts of correction, and lying spirits cause many, or some, I should say, to feel suppressed, not my message. Number 10, I mentioned this one girl for being so locked into the Lord that she could dance for an hour or two, so I didn't discourage dancing. I said, and at the end I said, so, keep on as you are, but make sure that you are dancing commensurate with the feeling, the expression, the emotions you're feeling, or truly locked into the Lord, not just funsy games and carnal and physical. Number 11, and finally, I am serious about not wanting non-serious dancing and funsy dancing and non-emotional dancing, that is dancing without praise and joy, non-spiritual dancing, for which I make no apology. Now, I did say you could begin, you know, I did say that, you know, you could begin to open up, move your feet, and open up and so forth. If you feel that you were bottled up and intimidated, you could begin to open up that way if you feel it would help you. Now, I'm going to answer a question that I'll pose. How about dancing by faith alone? In other words, you say, well, I don't really feel the emotion of love and the glory in my soul to inspire me to dance, but how about me just saying, well, I'm just going to start by faith and just start out dancing? Well, let me answer it this way. The principle is the same as doing it in prophecy or tongues or other things of the Spirit, or preaching, singing, testifying. If by faith you can launch out into an anointed slot in order to praise God or bring something, and He fills that slot with His anointing, you're right there. And then it is commensurate, and you're fine. But if you launch into it and it's not there, you better sit down. If you launch into an anointed slot and there's no anointing to preach, you better sit down. That's what they used to do in early Pentecost sometimes. Come tap on the shoulder and say, brother, sit down. You don't have the anointing. You know, talk about being hard on the flesh. You know? Have somebody tap you in the middle of a sermon and say, and you're a minister, and say, sit down. You don't have the anointing. I mean, they could tell if you had the anointing or not. Nobody was a bit interested in listening to anybody who didn't have an anointing. Today it's gotten to a place where nobody's anointed in the church, and if you're anointed, they would tap you down and say, you're fanatical. Get out. You know? And so, if you open up by faith and you feel the presence of the Lord and it's made you uninhibited and the glory of the Lord comes down, fine, go ahead. But if you don't feel a thing, what are you dancing for? If it's not bringing anything, doing anything for it, and it's not a measure of what's inside, what's the purpose? It's bringing. Now, as I mentioned, two camps came out of this, besides the big balance camp was in the middle. And one camp said, in effect, that Don corrected the elders, and when I came home, and I'm with the pastor, we don't want any more dancing. And the other said, Don corrected the dancing practice, and it was a wonderful move of God, and he stopped it. See? And they're both false. I want to say that, you know, this might be kind of hard for some people who don't really understand this, but you cannot always recapture the glory of that spontaneous move of God when it happens. And if it happens to coincide with somebody doing some teaching, and the next session you had all practiced to have a duplicate of the first, and it didn't come about, it's easy to blame somebody else for that happening. But you can't always experience that same exuberance back again. Now, I'm not saying that you can never feel the thing again, twice or three times or whatever. You may have that first weekend or so, and you may not get it again. Maybe for a couple of weekends, and it may not be there, and it may boom up bigger than ever sometime. You just cannot always recapture that same thing that happened to you some night. If I could, I wouldn't even be here. I'd be in a heavenly realm. I was there once. And right now, I'd just let you all sit here and do whatever you wanted to do, and I'd just go away. Well, I'm not ready. I'd probably wait till after service. Like Paul, it's whether to be absent, be with the body, to be with you, it puts me in a twixt. And number two, the dance. Dancing before the Lord is not a moving of the Spirit. It isn't a movement of the Spirit. It is really a reaction to a moving of the Spirit. Now, here are some things that were said, basically, compiled by my CIA agent. So I know every move you're making when I'm gone. Number one, the pastor straightened out those dancing and the elders who encouraged them. He said, I don't want Community Chapel to be a dancing church. Things were getting really wild in services with the pastor gone. He came back like Moses coming down from the Mount Sinai and finding the people singing and dancing in the flesh. Well, that's not true. Actually, When I was gone, I didn't see it. And when I came back, I didn't see anything different before I left. We were doing the same thing before I left. I didn't see anything different. If I did, I didn't notice it. That was statement was taken out of context. Number two, he said, only phase two dancing is edifying to the church and won't scare away any visitors. Not true. What I said was, phase two dancing is edifying to the church and won't scare away any visitors. I did not say only phase two dancing. Because if I believed that, I would have stopped at the moment I first saw it. Give me some credit. Number three, he said, we at Community Chapel are not at the dancing stage yet, implying that all dancing had been really wildfire. False. I mean, you take my statements and add your own interpretation to them. I did say that we are not, as a church, at the real dancing in the spirit stage yet. That's why I said, the question was asked, what should we call it? And I said, don't call it dancing in the spirit when you're not in the spirit. Call it dancing before the Lord. I did not imply all dancing had been really wildfire. If I did, I wouldn't have joined in myself a little bit. And I would have done something about it before now, and I wouldn't have complimented the lady here who was all over the place in a wonderful, beautiful dance, locked into the Lord, no peekaboos or anything, for a couple of hours. You see, you got to make me consistent with the rest of my actions and what I say and what I'm doing. Don't make me contradict myself. Don't go on and make me like an idiot before the people. And you know, just, and some of you may need to go back, and some of you, if you'll go back and we listen to tape, you'll wonder how you ever got that impression. And you'll say, he didn't even say that, and I was positive I could find it on the tape. I had a woman one time get upset by something I said in the tape. She wrote me a letter. I said, I never said that. She said, I know you did. She said, I'm going to find it. She listened to the tape three times. And every time she went through it slower and more carefully the next time. And finally, the third time, she said, I'm going to find this. And she really went through it. And she was flabbergasted. She said, you didn't say it at all. She was amazed. Her mind was stumbled. She didn't know what to think. Next, he said, in effect, that the dancing had been a fad, a fetish, an imbalanced emphasis on dancing. False. I never said the dancing was that at all. I said in the church of Jesus Christ, there has been a propensity to make fads and fetishes out of each new move of God. And I did not want dancing in the Spirit or dancing before the Lord to become a fad. I said, don't make a fetish out of it. I didn't say what had gone on had been that. Now, some may have been doing that, which is part of the reason for my message. But I did not implicate everybody in all the dancing. Next, he identified subtly. I didn't do anything subtly. I made a clear sort of. I'm not very subtle. You know what I mean? I come right out and say it. He identified subtly the Christian school and Sunday school teachers as wide open for fanaticism. Totally false. Didn't identify them at all. That was the devil's interpretation. I didn't have them in mind. How did I have them in mind? I didn't even see them. I didn't have them any more in mind than anybody else. I never categorized anybody. The dancing was fun for them and miserable for others because it was fanatical. I never said that either. I did say that fanatics enjoy it and others are miserable. But see, don't make bridges of conclusion and tie them into things I didn't tie them to. I never said that what was happening was making people miserable, although it might have been. But I didn't say that. But the people who are making miserable are probably those who lack faith and who are bottled up. Or it may be that some dancing that was a little fanatical or in the flesh or out of order or something, there might have been that, and it might have made some wise people miserable. When I see things a little bit out of order, it makes me miserable a little bit. You know, it bothers me. I don't like it. I have seen enough wildfire to last me the rest of my life till Jesus comes. I don't need any more to keep me going. But I've seen enough deadness to last me, you know, to the millennium. And he said the staircase vision of Janathuna was the pastor cutting off this dancing. False, didn't say that at all. But I said it may be cutting off what it was leading to if I didn't bring the balance at this time, because I saw some signs among some of carrying the thing into a frenzy trip and running off with it out of the excitement of the flesh. He said the elders and the teachers testifying told people to enter in by faith, not feeling. The pastor corrected all that, saying that dancing is a response to emotion or program, one or the other. He said, if you feel nothing, dancing is worthless, and we must be sure that our actions follow our feelings. One should dance only when emotions rise to the level that no other expression fits. And that's true, except for the exception I said, unless you're using it, just needed to open yourself up because you inhibit it a bit and become free. So that is true. I make no apologies for that. Next, I allegedly said, dancing will not make you free. He said, dancing will not make you free, as some had claimed. And I did not say that either, not quite like that. I did say that many times dancing or raising your hands or clapping will help a person who is inhibited to break some of the inhibitions and become free, which others have said. But I said dancing in itself won't make you free. You have to open up your heart to be free. Just dancing around doesn't make you free. Just doing this doesn't make you free. But if inhibited and you begin doing this and opening up at the same time, it can help make you free. Allegedly, I said pulling other people into dance with groups is playing funsy games, the pastor implied. Spiritual dancing must be individually initiated and done all alone. And that's false. That's not what I said. I did say that just pulling other people in and a funsy dancing was improper, and I didn't want it. And I did say that you shouldn't dance. I didn't want people dancing with, you know, somebody else's married partner, bring them in. I said, and mix this way, unless you're dancing together, all in a circle or in a group or something. So obviously I didn't say all alone, because I said that. I didn't say that was the only kind that could be done. Allegedly, the pastor corrected all the testimonies about dancing. The testimonies were out of order because dancing was talked about and even glorified as means to freedom, which is false. My wife and I listened to some of the testimonies when we were over in Hawaii, sitting there under an umbrella with the rain coming down. And I have jacks over here, and she had earphones over there on one jack. We had a big sun umbrella up, and the rain just pouring down from the hurricane that missed us. And everybody else had scattered. We were out there in the bathing suits, lying on the rain was coming down. We were like this. I started listening and praising. My wife was singing. And when we got through, she will testify to the fact that we both rejoiced with you with what God was doing. And we were thankful for the testimonies. And I particularly appreciated Betty Leonard's testimony. And Larry Walkermeyer's testimony, and of course many others too. And we expressed an appreciation for the testimonies, and didn't feel that they were indicators that they were out of line. The people dancing up in front of the church, especially those prancing all around, were showing off and being prideful, the pastor implied. Some of it is sensual and dancing Irish jigs that have been identified as demonic. I do not know what an Irish jig is. I never mentioned demonic. And I didn't see what happened when I was gone, so I can't make a judgment on that. And I didn't see anybody else dancing up around here and showing off when I was here. I have seen people from time to time over the weeks, you know, dancing when they should be sitting down. And I said, you know, brother, if God is putting glory in your soul to the state you've got to dance, dance. But if you don't, sit down. Don't play games with the thing. This isn't a dance hall. That's what I said. The pastor correcting men and women dancing together was correcting the men and women who testified of dancing together at the Christian school Sunday school retreat. That's false. They may be implicated, but if they are, I don't know it because I wasn't there. I just said I don't want that done. I didn't say it was wrong or evil. It just could lead to some problems. And that's different, you know. The pastor corrected the practice of many dancing in church with their eyes open. It's much more spiritual to dance with eyes closed. And necessary to be in phase two. The fellowship of dancing together, even with the eyes open, and enjoying seeing each other dance, was exposed by the pastor as flimsy games and not spiritual at all, but carnal, which was false. Now, the question was asked about eyes open or closed, and I made the statement, well, would like eating, or would like praying before you're eating. You know, you don't really have to have your eyes closed and hands folded. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that before eating. It didn't say open your eyes, close your eyes. And I mentioned that I had sat down with my eyes open and said no formal prayer before eating at all, but just thanked the Lord, been thankful in my heart, and just thanked Him in my heart as I was eating. And I said that was worth more than close your eyes and give all these, you know, now I lay me down to sleep when I'm praying for my food now, yes, and Jesus' name, bless the food, amen. You know, the ritual isn't what does it, it's being thankful in the heart. And I said that the same way with dancing, I mentioned that Neo-Pentecostal dancing, they didn't dance unless they were in phase two. What I mean by that, unless the glory of the Lord came upon them to such an extent they couldn't keep quiet and keep their feet still. And they were locked into the Lord, their eyes were shut, that's how they got there, is because they had everything else shut out, they weren't taking any pictures with their eyes, they were locked into God, and they kept themselves and just trusted the Lord, and away they went. And it didn't happen too often, but when it happened, it happened. And I said, I like that kind, because it's really of the Lord, and He's really moving it, moving them. And I said, that's always superior to be in what we call phase two, meaning the Lord moving on you so mighty you can't hardly help from doing it, as opposed to initiating something, you know, when you're not really moved upon to that extent. And I said that it was, people can dance with their eyes open, praising the Lord and thanking Him, you know, loving the Lord, you can do that. And I gave some criteria there. And lastly, I'm glad there's a lastly here. The pastor said don't involve the children in dancing. Correcting all the adults who were dancing with the children and encouraging them. The children can copy dancing, but should be left alone completely, and that is correct. That's exactly what I did say. I said don't take them and dance with them. I you know, people just don't have to offend to take the children and some of them may be able to do that with you. But a lot of them are not where you are, and a lot of people are just pulling them in to, you know, I see the kids standing there, and they're watching with big eyes, and they love all this, so don't pick the kid up, and then he wants to have the child, you know. But I don't want you to do that. I want this thing to be a serious thing before the Lord. I want them, they can, you know, if they feel the presence of the Lord on them, and they want to dance, well, I let them do so. But I don't want you at this stage doing that with them, because a lot of them are not there yet. And to be honest, some of you are not there yet. Now, let's hear again the balance on dancing before the Lord in new words. Let me give you some new words and let's go through it one more time, some of these things. Number one, dancing before the Lord can have the beneficial effect of causing one to force himself out of the bound-up state where he can feel free. That's one of the benefits. The same as clapping helps release one. There are many people that if they will start clapping, if they're bound, it's just kind of, they begin to feel more the presence of the Lord, begin to feel free. They begin to open the heart to worship more as they clap, because clapping demands a little different expression than sitting with your arms folded. And when you do that, you'll begin to open up a little bit oftentimes. Same way with raising your hands. Many times people raise their hands, they will become more intense in the worship. And because, you know, and if you, same way with your head down, if your head down, oftentimes it's more negative. As the presence of the Lord comes upon you, you just are not satisfied that way anymore. You want to go this way. But if you're in a heavy burden, you're usually not this way. You want to be this way. And see, people, well, there's something about the body actions. When you're dancing, it doesn't mean, oh, Lord, I'm in trouble, you know. See? It doesn't fit, you know. And you will do according to what you feel inside, you know, if you're not inhibited. Now, dancing can have the beneficial effect of giving a vehicle of real joy and praise to praise the Lord in. Because it gives a vehicle that is a praise type of thing. And so when you're in it, if you yield to the Lord, it will open you up, since we can initiate our feelings, we can initiate. And by initiating, you put yourself in a place where you decide, I am going to love and praise the Lord and sing for joy and feel His presence and love Him. But when you're not, see, you might be, you know, you're just kind of like, you could be, you know, you're not really in a place where you're really deciding to really make dead faith living faith and really decide to love Him. You know, you can decide to begin to praise the Lord and love Him, and after you do it a while, you begin to feel His presence come down upon you, can't you? Well, if you decide to, dancing gives you a vehicle to feel like dancing. Clapping gives you a vehicle to feel like clapping. See? And so, because the dancing is the furthest freedom, it has the benefit of opening up for the furthest expression. A person would generally be free to react to the emotion within. No. What I'm trying to say here is a person will generally, if he's free, react to the emotion within. The greater the emotion, the greater the reaction. But too, if one is not free, any action beyond what he is doing will tend to force back the inhibition, allowing him to feel more freedom. Like I've mentioned, I've seen people down like this, you know, and you take them, you lift the arms up, and the head just comes right up like on the same chain, and they begin to play more, see, once you've opened them up to it. Many times, many minister knows, if the congregation gets a little bit dull in the singing, he says, let everybody stand. What's that for? Because he knows the act of standing up forces the emotion a bit, wakes them up a little bit, and forces them, and they'll usually will sing more invectively when they're standing. And just that little thing. Someone said, let's raise their hands and praise the Lord. What do they say that for? Because the people are not going to do a very good job of praising the Lord with their hands in their pockets or by their side. Because this kind of puts them in the mood to, because that's what it says, and it's hard for them to do that and not be in the mood. It's like jumping off a diving board and not being in the mood, you know. I mean, you know, you put yourself in the mood fast if you jump off, you know. So generally, one should react naturally in accordance to the emotions within. This is the way God made him. This is appropriate. This is honest behavioral reaction, is being free to express what you feel, not expressing what you don't feel, see, not trying to put on a show or being hypocritical or pretending or anything else, but just expressing honestly what you do feel, as long as it's appropriate. But many do need to push back the inhibitions to release the emotions because they've been bound, so that they can feel God's presence. And the best way to do this is to force yourself to react just a notch above the level you're experiencing and reacting. So come up a notch. Continuing, and then, you know, you may be sitting down, and then as people stand, you may stand up and be a little bit more open, and then you may decide to begin to raise your hands a bit, and then you're feeling more open, you know, it's increasing. And if you're keeping up with it, and you're right there, and you have increased to that now, and you did it, then start clapping. And pretty soon, if the song is that type of a song, and pretty soon you'll start feeling that way. Then you can start dancing, and you'll start feeling that way. But if you stand and feel no different, and then you raise your hands and you feel no different, you clap and you feel no different, I mean, see, that doesn't make sense. I mean, if nothing's happening, there's no sense doing it. The only reason to is bring yourself up to that point. It's just a device to help you. just kind of push off the emotions a little bit. I mean, push back the inhibitions and allow you to put yourself in a framework like that to really begin to praise the Lord. So we're talking about doing honest things for honest reasons. Now, this is perfectly proper. But people who don't even feel God's Spirit enough to clap should not dance without feeling God's Spirit in the dance. For that is not praising God in dance, since you're not praising God. That is love of dancing. And community chapel is not a hall for physical dancing, only spiritual dancing. Number two, dancing has been a real release valve and source of blessing to many. And I'm very thankful for all who can truly praise God with more exuberance and with more joy. But I'm not at all happy to have people dancing more if they're not praising more. The idea is not dancing, it's praising God. There are those, without question, who have wept tears and have been excited and thrilled at seeing others dance. And like I said last Sunday, if it's because they are watching somebody experiencing more of the Lord, fine. That is thrilling. But if it's just the carnal excitement of seeing someone dance, and say, oh, look, he's dancing. Oh, look, he's moving. See, then that's wrong motive. That's wrong. The only reason you should rejoice in somebody dancing is not because he's moving fast around and he's never done that before and it's kind of fun, exciting, and different. The only reason is because you can see that the Lord is blessing him and he's becoming free in the Lord. There is one more thing, like I said last week. You can at times see somebody who is dancing wonderfully in the presence of the Lord and say, that is so beautiful when the Lord is upon them and they're really doing it as unto the Lord is beautiful. It isn't all that beautiful and not doing it as not unto the Lord, although it may be graceful. It loses something if it's not being done sincerely. Have you ever heard gospel singers singing songs out there that you know they don't mean? And they sing it and they sound so insincere, it sounds so phony, you'd rather turn it off and listen to a Western. Not that you really want to, but I mean you'd rather, because at least it doesn't seem like mockery. I was in a church one time, a charismatic church, and they were playing so many funsy games. I was so grieved in my spirit that people gathered from all over, and this guy got up and made all these funsy, foolish games, and I finally left. I pulled my wife out of the service. It was up in North Seattle, and we went, and nighttime we walked around Green Lake, and I said, well, at least I get out of the negative into the neutral. And now here's God's sky and God's moon. It's beautiful out here on the lake. Now there's a peace, and there I was grieved. And that's a shame, to be in a spirit-filled church and have your spirit grieved because of a lot of flesh. I don't like flesh demonstrating in churches. I love the Spirit moving upon God's people. There's nothing more thrilling. And nothing will keep the people and thrill the people like the real moving of the Spirit. But if you try to copy actions that people do when they're under the Spirit, when you're not under the Spirit, and you keep it going long enough, you will end up in a lot of deadness and fleshly demonstrations and wildfire. And then everybody will play more and more bigger games and more fleshly demonstrations, trying to keep the excitement going until they're in total fanaticism. If you don't keep the honest motive and the Spirit of the Lord in the midst, you'll dry up. And it'll all look like a bunch of clanging cymbals. Number three, without question, there were many people with some very immature and unspiritual motives and excitements. And I can tell by the rousing sound of excitement that comes occasionally from this assembly, that when somebody does something unspiritual, but exciting in the flesh, and there's a come up of excitement, I can tell there's a lot of immaturity, a lot of spiritual immaturity. Now, I don't blame you for that, because a lot of you are spiritually immature. A lot of you are new to the church, you're new to the Lord, you're still in a baby stage before the Lord. God said that I was to teach the newborn And I can't go down and kick all the cribs over and say, I want adults in here, see? I mean, if, you know, if I'm stuck with the nursery, well, then I'm stuck with the nursery. But I'm glad that in a school of God, we've also got some in the college of God. And we've got some mature fathers around, and we've got some that can that play. So, we don't belittle the little ones for thinking like they do, being like they are. They can't really help that at that point. So it's not surprising that these same ones show immature fleshly excitement when they're dancing. It's not at all surprising. It'd be very surprising if they didn't. It'd be very surprising if they could act mature when they want. But the only way they can mature is to be taught the difference between excitement of the flesh and excitement of the spirit. And that's what I was up here for. And if you'll notice, the stress on the entire message was to love Jesus and make him the focal point. And don't get wrapped up in the externals and the vehicles, the dance, and so forth. Now, how can that be wrong? That's just trying to mature the assembly. Now, I realize you might take somebody's baby bottle away, but sometimes you've got to give up the bottle and begin chewing some meat. And so I also felt to have you learn that the vehicle is not to be a source of excitement, but Jesus. And there has been some jumping around that hasn't accomplished anything in people. And they weren't ready for it. They were just copying other people. And I am tolerant, or I would have stopped it. But better than stopping it is teaching, so they can worship commensurate with the blessing of God being received. Without feeling like I got to do this to be in the in crowd. But so they can be free and honest not to dance, as well as be free to dance, and be free to express themselves to whatever level they feel that they can express themselves commensurate with the blessing that they're receiving from God. I don't like this business of clappings out loud at a higher stage, or you clappers down there, we're stage one, we're dancers. I don't like that attitude. That's not right. And if a person says, well, I always dance because that's the highest, the pastor said. But you may not be up there. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to kid yourself. You might as well be honest with yourself. I'm going to qualify this. I don't want Community Chapel to be a dancing church. I want it to be a praising church that is free to sing, free to clap, free to raise their hands, free to weep in the spirit, free to laugh in the spirit, free to dance in the spirit, free to fall if the God comes on you and knocks you over, free to prophesy or whatever else is in tune with the spirit is doing in them. I don't want a dancing church. I don't want everybody doing this. I want everybody free to dance or do whatever God does. See the difference in emphasis? I do not want a dancing fad. I would that you all danced in the spirit, however. And I would that you could be free to dance and be free not to dance. I would rather that all clapped and really felt the spirit of God mightily than all danced and felt it less. And I would that all danced and felt the spirit mightily than clapped and felt the spirit mightily. And if dancing helps you to feel the joy of the Lord, dance. And if dancing helps you to feel the excitement of the flesh only, don't dance. God is not giving us dancing. God is not moving upon us in dancing. That's phase two, and we're not there. God is rather blessing us, and we are clapping and dancing and so forth, as he's blessing us, expressing what we feel unto the Lord, as little children before the Lord, expressing the joy that we feel within. And a little bit of copycat learning, I'm not worried about that. That must needs be. There's no way that you can take a congregation of this size, all out of the world, just moving up in God, and have them all move immediately into the moving in the Spirit, all beautifully. I've never seen it done in all my life. There's no way. Any pastor who is willing to have the Spirit of the Lord and the gifts of the Spirit in his church has to be willing to suffer the training process. And if you ever, and you know, it's easy to point to some of the messes, but if you've ever done any potty training, you have to put up with some of it. If you want to die for them forever, you might be able to do that. But if you ever want them to get trained, you have to put up with some things you'd rather not have sometimes. There's no other way in the training process of children but to allow mistakes to be made, correct. And, you know, the difficult thing is getting adults to accept correcting. Children accept it pretty well. It's the adults we got trouble with. But I appreciate the tremendous amount of people here in this church that have such a super good attitude about correcting. I've had to correct some people, some things that I just didn't want to correct them. And I had to come down kind of hard on them. And I really kind of, you know, some of them I took the baby bottle and blanket away, you know, and swept the foot off from under them and put them to bed and spanked them and all that. And they just hugged me and thanked me for it. Just sweethearts, you know, it's been such a blessing. I was just overwhelmed almost with how much they were thanking me for letting them know that what they brought wasn't the Lord and so forth, but was its own spirit. They have been so mature about it and so good. So I don't want to make it sound like everybody, you know, has got a problem, because certainly we don't. We have a very strong, powerful, huge nucleus of spiritual, mature people in this place. But we're trying to bring everybody into that position. And maturity cannot always be measured by how old you are or how long you've been in this place. I know churches out there that have 50-year-old babies. And they throw tantrums, and they're terribly immature. And I've also seen other people fairly young that are very mature. Many are feeling more of God when raising their hands than some others are who are dancing. But more are feeling more joy and praise when dancing than most of us feel when not dancing. By the very nature of physical reactions, the more one feels, the more he reacts, and the more one reacts, the more he feels. And some people feel more than they express. And some people express more than they feel. And some people express more in relationship to the feelings than others do. Most people will feel more if they react more, if they allow their emotions and praise to God to increase commensurate with their increased actions. But I say if. You can't just feel more by reacting more, because actually you're not reacting if you're not feeling it, you're acting. And you just can't feel more by acting more. You have to put yourself in that place by faith and open up and yield to a higher place, or else the greater actions won't do anything for you but push you closer to fanaticism. But if they allow their emotions to increase but not their praise, they're in a worse state in church order than if they didn't increase their emotions and actions. Do you understand that? How many do not understand that? Okay, still with me? I'm saying things these different ways because I want you to be able to understand. I taught you before, I'm using new words and I'm saying different things. I'm saying this, so you understand it. I'm saying this comparatively and this comparatively, so you can really get the comparison, getting down to the nitty-gritty, so you can understand exactly what I'm saying. Actions way beyond the blessing received and felt is fanaticisms. And actions way less is bondage. And some people in bondage are blaming people in fanaticism. In fact, some people in bondage are blaming people that are balanced, because they think it's normal to be in bondage. So keeping reactions in line with blessings and praise and joy is what we should do. But increase them if you can by letting go of your inhibitions through clapping, raising your hands, dancing before the Lord, and so forth. Now I want our worship to be pure and true. I want our worship to be spiritual. I want our worship to be a blessing to Jesus. Not a funsy dance floor. Not a vain show of emotions. I'm not afraid of emotions, but I don't like them put into a spiritual vehicle if there isn't the Spirit of God, though. When God's Spirit sets everyone free, brother, you're going to dance freely. I'll promise you, when you're set free and God's glory and power is upon the church, God's people can't do anything else but dance before the Lord. And they'll not be able to help it. And they won't want to do anything else but help it. But if all dance without the Spirit and without joy and without praise, we would have a sham. A fleshly demonstration of wildfire and fanaticism. And don't think most can't tell the difference. So in summary, I do think it's good to let go and dance before the Lord. But lock into praising God. And put off all foolishness, all physical excitements, and games, and just love Jesus alone. Now, I don't mind you practicing trying to get free and trying out your freedom wings. But keep it worship. Don't seek to excite the flesh. Don't seek greater thrills by greater and wilder actions. Seek greater love, greater yielding, greater dedication, greater life of holiness. In your dancing, say, Lord, I give you my life. I will witness for you. I will love for you. I'll be one in the sun. I will express your love to others. I will be kind. I will put off all the evil thinking, and I will walk before the Lord holy. See, when you're dancing, if you're going to praise the Lord, then praising has to be continued in a life that's praising Him. You can't go out and slap Him in the face and come back and love Him in praise. If you're going to be praise the Lord, you have to praise the Lord by your life so you can praise Him honestly in the Spirit. Otherwise, it'll turn into a sham and hypocrisy. Now, you don't have to be perfect and have lived good enough before you can dance. You can dance in the freedom and the grace of God. He forgives your sins, but you must honestly be repenting and seeking to walk holy before God. Now, I personally want to open up more, too, and I will dance. And I will enjoy the exhilaration of opening up more and loving the Lord more. And you do it, too. But do it as unto the Lord, not as unto more emotion, more fun, or more show. Don't delight in the flesh, but in the Lord. Don't delight in fanaticism. Don't delight in foolishness. But let go and worship God. Don't stay bound. And don't express yourself express yourself any reasonable way commensurate with the move of the Spirit and how you can open up to the Lord and feel His presence and yield to Him. But I said that dancing in the Spirit was limited to before and after the services for now, unless the power of God really falls, because many are in a transition of trying and learning, and many are not up to the level of dancing yet really before the Lord. And so, you see, once the service is over and people can go home, who want to, and visitors and people that don't know and so forth, that's fine, and before the service. But once it's a part of the worship service, I would see, the singing we do and the clapping we do is commensurate with what we're feeling. But dancing in for joy is really beyond the feeling of the mass of the people. And most of the people are not at a place really of having that great joy because they're not living that great before the Lord. The glory of the Lord, the faith isn't there, and the love relationship and the place in the Lord. They're trying to get there desperately. That's what we are. We're trying to get there desperately. And we're getting drops of rain falling. But the latter rain has not yet fallen. The glory has not fallen to His camp in superabundance. I mean, true, we're having a move of the Spirit far beyond what I've hardly seen in the past and what most churches are experiencing in general, but it's still not to that level. And so I don't want it to become a part, because I don't want it in the service. I want to have what is commensurate with it. And then afterwards, that's your training time, the time to be free before the Lord, because other people, you don't like it, they can go home. And we don't want to stumble anybody or trouble them during the service. Now you can. There's space. I sit in the aisles down the front. Some people have discovered they can dance in the pews. And you know, when you're there, we don't mind. I just don't want you coming out down in here, because some people will be bold enough to do that before everybody and then draw everybody's attention to them, and they're not there, and I don't want to do that. I said before, once the glory of God falls on somebody, and they're down here and God has moved them, and they're in phase two, everybody's going to rejoice. It may break the whole thing open. And I'm not going to say a thing. But I see you peekabooing down here, I'm going to come and tap you on the shoulder and sit you down. We will allow the Lord to let it burst forth in services when the glory reaches that level. And people can, all the whole church can do it. Fine with me. I'll be right there with you. Now, in my final lap, let me say this. I've had enough of, quote, stereotyped Pentecostal services, unquote, to last me to the rapture. You know, the plateaued off, sloped down, dead Pentecostal churches, services, semi-dead, I should say, I really had enough of those. Some people would like to stay there forever. That's just what the level is. They kind of like that. But I really want to go way on beyond that. I don't want to stay at that level. I mean, we've had, you know, there's the Spirit of the Lord is there, and it's good, but there's so much more. There's so much more joy. This is what you call joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, there have been Pentecostal meetings like that, but I talk about the stereotyped ones. And I've had enough of these fleshly cosmetic services to last me a lifetime. And I didn't say all cosmetic meetings are fleshly. Right. But I've had enough of a different type. It's a little different flavor. If you know what I mean, a lot of you don't know what I mean, so just put it in the metal shelf and forget it. But I've had enough of, for everybody, right foot, left foot, everybody doing something, and the glory of the Lord isn't on them. Everybody's just doing, out here. And they all feel good in the Lord, but the Lord's not, and it's not really expressing the glory of the Lord. And I really don't want that. I do not want this church to be a copy of that, which I really don't like. I want something a little more true and in the Lord than that. I want a holy, pure love and worship. Service that is free in the Spirit. Free in the Spirit moving upon us. And we're responding to the service, to the glory of the Lord. And my closing statement is, don't dance to feel Jesus. Primarily, don't dance to feel Jesus, but live for Jesus and express His love and our love in dancing and in other ways. Now, see, the motive, the subtle difference is this. If we get to a place... Now, I said it was all right to try to open up, to dance, to open up, if you can open up. But still, I'm saying, the essential point should not be dancing to feel Jesus, to feel. We should not be dancing to feel something, clapping to feel something. The feelings should not be our goal. We should be expressing what we're feeling because we're loving from our hearts and worshiping. And therefore, we're clapping, tapping our foot, waving our hand, or whatever. You know, you can sit and feel great and wonderful emotion. But when it gets so great you can't sit, some people want to stand. And some people, they'll move faster than others. We don't want to judge one another. But primarily, we want to worship the Lord through whatever vehicle is appropriate with what's happening in us. Now, does this make sense? And I hope this clarifies it. And this shouldn't squelch anybody. You shouldn't dance. You should be able to dance all over the place. And even if you're not quite there, you're not sure and all that, like I said, I am willing to have people try the wings a bit and learn and transition and practice and move out. And that's no problem to me. You can do that. I'm not going to jump down on anybody. I just want to keep the motive, the goals, what we're trying to do, straight in our minds so we don't get derailed and go off to the left. Tina, would you stand, please? Thank you for your support.
It's no wonder to me that the devil assailed us right at the time when we were beginning to offer our praises and glory unto the Lord, because he is not happy with us giving back to God that which he has robbed God of all these years. Because the devil is the one that took the dance and twisted it, and it's out there everywhere. People are worshiping and praising him in the dance, and he wants to keep it to himself and for himself. But the Lord says, no, I'm giving it back to my people, and my people shall be full of joy, and they shall be full of praise and thanksgiving, and they shall offer it unto me. And so the devil got mad at that because you began to move out in worship and praise to your Lord. If anybody has a right to praise and worship Jesus in the dance, we do. Because look at what God has done for us. If Miriam had a right to dance before the Lord because her enemies were drowned in the sea, how much more do we? For the Lord has delivered us with a high hand. Almost everyone here has been delivered of demons. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But the devil doesn't like it because we are robbing him of that which he has robbed God of. And I say, let's rob him of it. Most of you here have danced for him, and he doesn't like the fact that you're going to dance for Jesus out of joy and thankfulness of what Jesus has done for you. And so I believe that we need to unveil the working of the enemy and say, away with you. We will not allow you to give us misunderstanding, intimidation, fear of fanaticism, intimidation, or anything else. We're going to be a glory to Jesus. And the Spirit of God is going to move through us. And we're going to praise him with everything in us that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. Join with me and let's rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. The demons, you princely spirits, we bind your power right now in Jesus' name. We will not be deceived by you. You shall not hinder God's people and bring us into confusion. We reject your confusion right now in Jesus' name. Get behind us in the name of Jesus. We're going on in the love of our Lord. And we're going on as a unit, and none shall lag behind. We reject you. We forsake you. But we put you behind us. And we will be a joy and a glory to our Lord. And you shall not hinder. In Jesus' name, Lord, we repent for ever listening to the devil. We repent forever dancing for him, and we will allow you, my Jesus, to be glorified in us. We yield ourselves wholly unto you to worship you and love you in purity and holiness. We want to bring you joy and honor and glory. Bless us, O God. Unite us, Jesus, and cause us to be a joy unto you. For we are so thankful for all that you have done in us. Blessed be your holy name forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Now, that's half of it. That's half of it. The devil's saying, I don't want him to dance for Jesus. I'm going to make him intimidated and so forth. The other half is, because Satan always has a plan for each group. And for each type of person, he's got something detailed for you. And so for the other group, he says, all right, if I can't keep him from dancing, I'm going to push him overboard. I'm going to put in a lot of input to them and tempt them in their mind with a lot of frenzy spirits, and get their minds on something else and cloud their mind with it. And if they're not careful to judge things carefully, they'll follow these thoughts I put in their mind, and they'll hurt themselves. And I'll make mockery of the place. See? And that's why we need this. And that's why we need to be careful. Now, when you're finally through, you say, well, I don't know what to do. Do what you feel like. That clarifies it. And we'll help you if we need to. Mark, go ahead. I have a prayer request for that for this real short statement.
I just wanted to say,
Scott Linderson, Diana's husband, has requested special prayer by the elders. He has an ulcerated colon, has kept him out of work now for over 7 months. Doctors say they can do nothing. He's been prayed for healing many times. No evidence of healing to this point. Cannot realistically hold a job until healed because of frequent flare-ups, forcing lots of work days. If you'll come down immediately after the service, I'd like to have the elders, those with gifts of healing, to meet us right here. The rest of you can go on into praising the Lord. We'll pray immediately for him, and then we'll join you. God bless you. And immediately after this song, you are free to be dismissed to your homes, or to pray, or to worship the Lord, or to fellowship. God bless you.